welcome to the Pinecast. I'm joined this week by my good friend, Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. We're kicking it old school this week, keeping it real, just the two of us. How are you doing today, Joe?
Pretty good. Not too bad. Heading towards the end of the week, so all is good.
Yeah, not too shabby, huh? And it's been an interesting couple of weeks of football. It's been a little, like, I think about 2 weeks since we last gathered.
Yeah.
And it's been a couple of good results for the mighty Arsenal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you get a couple of players back and you play a couple of shit teams and things look better.
And good things seem to be happening worldwide in football. I mean, like, bad people are losing.
Crying.
John Terry crying is good for humanity. I think every tear John Terry sheds, an angel gets its wings.
It certainly evil. Like it levels out the evil in the world.
It has to do a little something. I start to believe a little bit in humanity when bad things happen to that man. And Jose Mourinho got completely one-upped at his own. Well, not just his own game, but his own tactics, his own celebrations at Stamford Bridge, and lost his first time ever, two consecutive matches at the Bridge.
Yeah, and what do they say? It's his sixth semifinal loss. So I guess people could see that as a failure. However, call me weird. I think getting to a semifinal is a pretty good achievement. I'm not exactly sure how to look at that.
It is a pretty good achievement, you know. And, you know, I believe he's lost in the semifinals each of the last 4 years, which is kind of like, oh, my God, look at you. You can't get past the semifinals 4 years in a row. But it's like you said, I mean, the counterpoint is, he steered his team to at least a semifinal, you know?
Yeah.
Each of those times. So, like, I'll give him credit where credit's due. And, you know, he's done that with you'd have to argue, I mean, I don't know, he should be doing that with the Real Madrid side. I don't know. With this Chelsea side, I don't know. I mean, I actually think reaching the semifinals might even be an overachievement for
that team. Yeah. I think you can pretty much thank his setup for getting him that far.
I mean, like, when you look at that, it's kind of like, well, did they get a favorable draw? Who do they face? You know, because they seem like a team that, like to be perfectly honest, teams like Chelsea and I'll put Arsenal in that same category, probably were good enough to make the quarterfinals of this tournament, but not good enough to progress past it.
Right. Know? Yeah. Like,
we ran into Bayern in the first round, and that's just kind of an unfortunate draw, and it's our own fault for losing the group. But.
Well, that's for our fault for falling apart completely at Napoli.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We barely held on
even to get through.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, that's kind of that was our own doing. But I mean, you'd have to say probably the barometer of where we were.
It was probably about
at a quarterfinal level.
I thought we'd always just get out of the. I thought we'd always lose in that round. I mean, that was kind of what I always thought because I thought we'd always run into someone.
Well, I thought for once because. You know, we thought that we were actually going to finish top of the group, and it looked like that for a ways.
For a while, yeah.
I thought we would make it to the quarterfinals and then probably get knocked out by a Bayern or something like that, but instead we got them again in the first round. And we're really seeing, I mean, what the price you really pay by fucking up and not winning your group.
Yeah, it's just inexcusable to throw it away like we did, so.
But, you know, that's how it's going to go. But anyways, we've had some very interesting results in the Champions League.
Go back to the weekend, we had one good result, which kind of opened. Well, I had two good results. One in our favor when Southampton, well, I should say Everton, scored on themselves twice to basically allow us for 90% secure in the fourth Champions League spot. And then we had Chelsea beat Liverpool, which I was torn, but I was still kind of happy that hopefully Liverpool doesn't win. So,
yeah, those were certainly very good results in other ways for us. In that sense, I mean, like, I'm with you. We don't really need Liverpool winning the title.
No. I mean, nobody
does.
Wenger doesn't want that either. He doesn't. You know, that with
yeah,
the,
yeah,
he
exactly.
doesn't not want that. It just makes him look worse with
right because
the amount of money available.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you got to think like that he's got, I don't know, in that regard that they're going to be happy. And, you know, I got no complaints. I mean, City, granted, you know, I picked City to win the league, but You know, squad wise and the money they've spent, you kind of expect them to. And they should.
I think I picked Chelsea. I can't even remember. It's been so long. I'm going to have to go back and look. I think I picked Chelsea.
You did pick Chelsea. That sounds right.
But I certainly never thought Liverpool would. I mean, I thought they had advantages, but not this much.
I picked it for fourth. That was it. I was like, they're going to pip United for fourth. And that was a bold prediction at the beginning of the summer, you know?
Yeah.
Before the season began, that was crazy. So, and then, you know, then look at what we get. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a little wild. Those results definitely went our way, though. And, like, we now have Everton. I mean, basically, I mean, like, if Everton drop any points against City at the weekend, which...
Yeah, we basically just have to match their result.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they draw, we get a draw, we're good. You know,
I mean, well, but honestly, we get a point this weekend, we're good. We get a point this weekend, we're good, right? I mean, likely.
As long as they don't win.
Right, as long as they don't win.
Right.
But, I mean, look, win this match, and that's all that matters. But let's stay with some of the other action in the league. So I'm really intrigued by this. So let's talk a little bit more about Chelsea, because they were a bit exposed in the Champions League. You know, the tactics, we saw the kind of the, I'm not going to even say the yin and yang kind of thing, but like the, like they, their tactics, and Mourinho was applauded and lauded for his parking the bus actions. You know, he's openly criticized as well, but you know, we saw it pay dividends against Liverpool, and we saw it undone against Atletico. I mean, I think it's a fair thing to say that, that, you know, that maybe Atletico's a better team than Liverpool, you know, because I'd certainly say that myself. But you know, like that these tactics got undone. So we saw Mourinho's, you know, his style, you know, quickly lauded, but then also taken apart. Like, how do you feel about how that went down with Chelsea?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing about the Chelsea teams that he sets up and he has set up is that they always have been really physical. And that Atletico team that day, well, they always play like that, but they match the physicality. And I don't think that every one of those players could take it in return. You know, they could take it, given back to them. And I think they were just missing, you know, on their last Champions League run, you know, they basically rode Drogba through that whole last three rounds of that year, and they don't have that type of player up front for them anymore. So I think that really hurt them.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm curious about something, though. So hear me out on this. Chelsea have sacked managers after winning the league.
The double.
Winning the double, right? Because that was Carlo, right?
Yeah, Ancelotti.
Winning the double. Winning the Champions League, you know, like quickly into the next season, you know what I mean? Like winning the Champions League and winning the Europa League, and they've dismissed managers after this. Jose is we're almost to the point where he's guaranteed to not have a trophy this year.
Right.
I mean, pending something crazy happening.
He's not getting.
Yeah. I mean, unless both those teams lose and whatever. He's not, you know, he's not going to get it. So let's just say that he doesn't win anything. Does Mourinho stick around for next season?
Oh, yeah, he sticks around. Where's he going to go right now? What other team with money is looking for a manager?
Manchester United?
I
was playing devil's advocate. I mean,
they are really regretting the choice they made not to basically answer his phone calls last summer.
Yeah.
You know, or before the summer, they really made a big mistake by not getting Mourinho. I'm sure he'd love that though. He'd love to be the savior there. Okay, so other than that team,
he's not really a hot commodity right now. I mean, he's not the jobs he wants, right?
Right. Like, well,
if there were any,
he's not going to take the Spurs job. You know what I mean? I mean, he's only going to take
Bayern Munich if Pep were to go. I mean, like, what the fuck else? And it's not like they would want him there, too. The same thing would happen the way it happened at Real Madrid. You know, he doesn't play that in a style that will please those fans. And they're both those fan bases are amongst the most demanding, you know? Like, how the fuck could, like, you know, I mean, Pep knew that, you know, anything less than treble was going to be a failure this season because that's what they did last year. So I don't think you can fire the man who won the Bundesliga at a canter, who's got the reputation of one of the world's best managers. But I'm sure you were quite entertained seeing him get knocked out, were you not, Joseph?
Yes, I hate him. I don't hate him, but I hate the style of play. I just don't like it. I think it turns into, well, I mean, it's the opposite of Chelsea as far as play, but in the end, it makes for the same type of boring game to watch. It's just boring.
Yeah, I don't know. It reminds me of, you know, when Arsenal begin to play like that on occasion, when there's a lot of slow build up and then a lot of incision. I mean, the thing that's made the difference for them, I mean, is that they've had super quality at their attacking positions that are able to make the difference. You know,
yeah,
like having a Messi and having the players that Bayern have. Like, they'll have someone who's going to be able to make that run just to get it. But it's, you know, when we go searching for those kind of goals, it has to be so intricate. And you see, like, well, when they put together this series of 3-1-2s, you know, right, then it comes off. But, like, they had to make four passes in a span of, like, 4 seconds, you know, interweaving between defenders. It's not fucking easy.
Well, right. I mean, it looks like – I mean, look at the goal we scored against Norwich earlier this year, right? I mean
– right.
That we all drooled over, you know, but
how many of those do we watch that go in vain? And what's the percentage, right?
Yeah, I mean, 1%. I don't know. It's not a lot. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy anytime that his football doesn't win. So, because I don't want to see more teams keep trying it. That's basically why. You know, I think some of the other managers have taken it and adjusted a little bit. You know, I think Rodgers has taken some of those same ideas and adjusted a little bit.
But so I've got a question for you, though. So if Mourinho is – it makes perfect sense to me, and I'm sure he expects to still be at Chelsea next year before ever thinking of doing anything else. But given Roman's track record and the fact that, like, you know, he's fired Mourinho before – you know, like, let's not get it twisted. Like, he was over him at one point. Like,
he was over the style of play, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
that's what he was gone for.
And he wants the beautiful aesthetic. If you're Roman Abramovich and you've seen a team come in and play for Diego Simeone, you know, maybe the way Chelsea played for Mourinho the first time around, you know, in the sense of getting everyone is bought into his ethos and his ethic, you know?
Right.
And this is the guy who, you know, word is that a deal is already in place for Diego Costa for the summer. Like, wouldn't you go out and try to get this charismatic guy that looks like potentially the next coming of, you know, I mean, in terms of hot European property, this guy's on the up and up. I'm not even saying they can get him as a manager from Atletico or if he would, but if you're already going for this guy and a guy who's gotten the best out of this striker who's excelling in Europe, wouldn't that be an entertaining proposition to bring in a guy? Well,
it would if he spoke English.
I don't think it's going to – I don't think it'll make that much of a difference, to be honest.
I think it makes a difference in England.
I think it matters, but I'm just saying let's put that aside. I'm just saying how do you think it looks to Roman in that sense? Because –
well, I think the collection of managers they've had since Mourinho even left it still boggles my mind why they let Ancelotti go. That's the one that makes me shake my head a little bit, because you wanted a better style of football and he brought you one.
Right.
and you still weren't. I think what he had, he did the double, and then he didn't win the next year, and then he was gone. Something like that, right? I think that's something how that went.
Yeah.
But I guess going by that track record, Mourinho should be gone. But it doesn't look. I can't see him going.
I mean, I can't see him going unless they have the next guy lined up.
Right.
You know, but I mean, you have the next guy lined up, but also think about, like, I don't know if he just, if he cares about this shit though. I mean, you know, he's, I'm sure he owes, how long is the deal that Mourinho came in for? 3 years, 4 years?
Probably.
I mean, so the compensation, if you were to sack him right now, is a lot of money. But if there's anyone who doesn't give a fuck about that, it would be Roman, because he's happily paid. Like, Roberto Di Matteo was still getting paid through this season, you know? Like, and you know what I mean? Like, getting paid big money. So, well,
I think if they go another year playing shitty football and not winning, then you find it again, right?
Zero trophies next year. He's got to get the ass.
But this year was the we're not good enough. All year long it was that we're not good enough yet. Well, these are all young kids.
That was the bullshit that he was feeding the media, because he's trying to lower expectations for himself. So that, like, right? I mean, it's just so like, well, I told you we would take a while, and this wasn't the year we were going to win everything. I told you. Well, yeah, motherfucker. Like, we see through your shit, though. I mean, really. I mean, I feel like people are finally realizing, if they didn't already realize. I mean, you know, that he doesn't shit fucking gold bricks.
They don't care. The people that listen to that certainly don't care. The Blues fans don't care. They still worship the ground he walks on. And he makes their papers every week with the shit he spouts, whether he's contradicting himself or calling.
I feel like the opinion in world football has begun to shift. You know, like, he was considered a couple of years ago, right after he won with Inter, like, wow, this guy can win the Champions League all over and do all this, which he has, and it's great. He's a great manager. He's not the kind of manager I'd ever want at my club, but, like, he's gotten results, and results speak volumes. So, you know, in the greater part, I think he's done some great stuff. I also think that he might be it's funny, as he grays, I think he might be losing some of the pizzazz and the new guy swagger that he had when he came in. You know what I mean?
He does. He it's like that, and it's only like that because he didn't win. If he wins something next year, then it's back to he's a genius, and people will put up with this crap.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he, you know, he
dressed. We're fickle both ways.
I know. But it's funny because it's his look and everything too. You look at him now; he looks just like grizzled and gray, and he's wearing track suits, and he's fatter. You know what I mean? He's just kind of like, he just looks like a shadow of his former self. You know, he doesn't. You know, he's not young and vibrant anymore. And it's kind of like, we've all heard his shit, and we absolutely know, when managers get older, they don't tend to change their ways so much. They kind of tend to stick with what they've.
Yeah, I mean,
what's tried and true.
We certainly know that all too well.
You know what I mean? Like, I can already see him as, like, the fickle old, like, national team manager that spouts shit every once in a while. Like he'll be there not too long.
What do you think about the impending hiring of Van Gaal up at United, which apparently is supposed to be set to be confirmed next week?
You know, I don't really have much of a feeling one way or another on it. Like, I don't.
It seems like a change of philosophy, though, right? I mean, you go from, you wanted a guy to, you they pick Moyes, so for their thinking, you know, the keeping continuity in with the type of manager that they brought in, and maybe also trying
type Scottish.
Yeah, also the same. Well. You know, bringing through youth. I think Moyes was really known for trying to bring through youth. Not that he had a lot of choice, but he did bring through a lot of youth at Everton, stuff like that, which United pride themselves on, although they haven't done much lately. But as a club, that's what they tried to do. But right, but I just think, you know, it changes from having someone there and looking long term to keep another manager for several years, and Van Gaal can't be there more than 3 years. Just, I mean, look at his age alone,
right?
You know, so this is a totally different type of manager that maybe they're going to head more in this. You know, where they're going to go through turnover managers more often.
Do you feel? Yeah, I think it certainly could be the case, because I feel like Van Gaal could be the guy that, like, RVP wanted, and I was certainly of the mind basically this entire season that I expect RVP to leave this summer. I don't think that anymore. I mean,
he's going to stay.
He's got his national team manager in, the guy who plays him as a center forward, who's going to start him in the World Cup. He's got no reason to leave now. If it had still been fucking David Moyes, I'd expect him to have been punching a ticket.
Do you, Do you think
I'm sure he's been threatening it though too, right?
Do you think United's going to go out and spend City type money this summer?
I don't know if it'll be City type money, but I expect
them to have to be. Really? Let's go in past practice. To keep Van Persie, wouldn't it have to be City type money? Otherwise, he would not agree with the direction of the club.
I mean, I suppose so, right? I mean, they're going to have to make a splash. They're going to have to sign, you know, I don't know if it needs to be another striker because I don't know if that'll make him happy, you know, but they got to spend on like a 30 million pound up rated like midfielder.
They're going to have to spend 100 million on a back line.
Yeah, I was going to say, and like a 20 million pound central defender and another fullback, you know, like, yeah, they're going to have to put 80 million on three players.
They're going to spend over 100 this summer.
And how much of it will they recoup? If they spend 100 or 110, they recoup like 20 or 30 in sales?
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
Hmm. Who do they sell? Chicharito?
He's gone.
Welbeck?
Yeah. No, I think they'll keep Welbeck. I assume the Silva kids will be gone.
Evra?
Evra's gone. We know Vinch has gone on a free.
Carrick? They probably try to keep Carrick.
They'll keep Carrick. He's actually one of the most decent players they have in the midfield.
I know, which is – I hate saying it because I've never really rated him. I mean, he's done a pretty good job the past couple
of
years.
Yeah, he is.
As reluctant as I am to say it, but, yeah, he's done some good work. Yeah, I don't know. They've got a lot of revamping to do. They really need a heartbeat in that midfield, though. That midfield is the center of that midfield is fucking lacking. So
it's pitiful. And even when you have really good players like Kagawa and Mata, they with nothing around them.
Yeah,
it looks pretty pitiful.
Yeah, it's not. It's less than ideal for them, certainly. I think.
But I mean, they might get Fabregas this summer. So.
No, man, he's totally coming back to Arsenal, man.
Oh yeah, I got a DM.
Did you? Did you really? You did.
You can't talk about it because there's an injunction.
No,
the conjunction.
The conjunction. Yeah. Ridiculous shit. Well, let's get to, you know. So if you don't feel like Jose is gonna be going anywhere. Let's get to the winners of these European matches, though. So we saw Real Madrid beat Bayern Munich quite emphatically and looking about as good as they've looked all season, which, you know, Madrid on their day have looked pretty fucking dynamite this season.
Yeah, they're my pick all along this year.
They're my pick, too. We can go back.
Without Mourinho there, they were my pick. So
yeah, I think I picked a Bayern Munich Real Madrid final, which – obviously, we can't have control over that, but I did pick Real Madrid as well. And, you know, and I think that's – if you asked me to bet on this final, even though I like Atletico, as a betting man, I'd take Real Madrid.
I think I'd just take the experience of Ancelotti, you know.
But how do you bet against this Atletico team? It's so tough. They play – like you – and I don't know. I feel like if you're a neutral, like, I don't know. Real Madrid looked so sexy, but even though it was just counterattacking, but it was just lightning pace. I don't think there can't be another front line with the pace that they have, right? If you say, because I mean, Benzema is not a fucking, he doesn't really fly for a striker,
but he gets to the spots, you know. He's
fast enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's fast enough. But I'm saying, like, even without him, they have three fucking thoroughbreds because you have Di Maria, who's fast as shit. Yeah. And then Bale and Ronaldo, who have
ridiculous
otherworldly pace.
That much pace, you can play the counterattack that you can play is so much better than most. You know, just personnel only.
I mean, pace wise, that's almost having like three Theos. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And like, I wish Theo could do stuff at pace the way they can. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different. But I mean, in terms of moving that fast, I'm trying to think who's that fast. I don't know if I'd say Bale and Theo on a good day are in the same ballpark. But it's been a while since we've really seen Theo at the races. I just hope these injuries don't hurt that. But you know, I guess it's a whole other topic. But But yeah, I mean, that kind of pace is just insane.
And it just puts defenders, you know, on their back foot because they know that they can't push forward at all. Because otherwise, one of those guys is going to hit one of those corners and the other two or three guys are just going to come running in.
Yeah.
It's simple. I mean, it's not simple, but they do it really well.
Ronaldo and some of those goals and shit. I mean, he is such a fucking, he's such a bastard, but he's so good. He's so good. I mean, like his celebration is everything of what Ronaldo is, you know, like that the 15 celebration he did after his goal. Was just that's him in a nutshell. Like you want to see Cristiano Ronaldo? Here it is. Him scoring a goal and then like even though
talking about himself.
Yeah, and all the great work in that goal was done by Bale. You know, like he's done a lot of the great work all the time. But you know, occasionally when you know you look at like when players benefit from the great work of another player, they make sure that no, let me go celebrate with him because he created the goal. No, that's never the case with Ronaldo. Fuck you. I don't even know. He didn't assist it. Don't even look at him. It's me. 5, 10, 5, you know, the fucking gestures and shit.
That wasn't him. That was somebody put the triangle button and it came to me.
Yeah, exactly. But it's scary. It's scary. And we have an all Madrid final, Atletico versus Real Madrid. You know,
hey, you got to be pretty excited about the final, huh?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, this is as far as it goes. I mean, I don't know, like, because what do you really want in a European final? You want a great matchup between two great teams. Like, what are things that you can add to this dynamic? Like, we got a really good Champions League final last season. You got a derby between the two biggest teams in Germany, which, you know, like, yes, in a perfect world, you have, what do the neutrals want the most? What, they want the Barcelona versus Manchester United? They want the Bayern versus Real Madrid?
Right.
But, like, what are the next best things outside? Other than that, you get some kind of huge rivalries. You get a Barcelona Real Madrid final, you know. You get a local derby in the final.
That's pretty big.
That's pretty big. You know, all Madrid and in Lisbon. You know, like in the Iberian Peninsula. Like this is a huge, huge, you know, opportunity, and we're going to be there. Not be there, but I mean, we're going to be seeing this. Possibly, you know, potentially right after Atletico just win, you know, will have just won La Liga. Like that's such a crazy position to be in, you know. I don't know how you couldn't be excited.
Yeah, no, I think it should be good. But I mean, the end of La Liga should be good, and so should this final.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Well, I mean, you've had pretty good luck with your second teams over the last 2 years, huh?
Yeah,
they both went deep.
Yeah, they've done well, and I have a feeling it's going to be. I mean, this is just my inclination that Atletico are going to win La Liga, but then that Real Madrid are going to get La Decima, like in their 10th European Cup. It's been
2002.
Yeah,
a long time.
I guess if you're Real Madrid. Fucking bastards. It's still 12 years ago. I mean, yeah. How many semifinals have we been in since we went out in the final? We made the semifinals like in 08, right?
Once, I think, yeah.
That's when we got embarrassed by Manchester United.
Yep. Quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't pretty.
Was that
Gibbs slip?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, that one.
Felt so bad for him.
Yeah, but he's recovered well. You know,
he's my second favorite player on the squad to be.
You just like the really fast light skin guys, huh?
I'm into the skinny, fast light skin gentlemen. That's my thing.
With British accents.
Yeah, you know. I didn't really think of it like that before now, but apparently that's my thing.
All right, make sure to add that to your Grindr profile.
Will do. Done and done.
Sweet. 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 Well, let's get back to our Arsenal, because that Champions League, we still got a little ways. It was very exciting, and I'm really excited for that final. But speaking of finals, we have a FA Cup final on the horizon. And we just have this little task of getting past these last two fixtures in the league And
yeah, so you hopefully we take care of business this weekend against West Brom. What is it, West Brom at home?
Yeah, West Brom at home. Probably Bakary Sagna's last match for the mighty Arsenal.
I heard he's got a thigh strain. He'll probably be out.
Fuck off.
Nope, not kidding.
Get the fuck out of here.
They're gonna probably be cautious with him because they want him for the FA Cup final.
Fuck me. Really?
So we'll probably see Corporal this weekend.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, you want to play next week, you better start showing us, Carl.
Well, so they'll give – you know, it's kind of – you wonder, do you want where do you rest – when do you want to rest players? Are you going to just rest everybody the week before?
Yeah.
If we're able to. I know you just wonder about – I guess you wonder about fitness, but you also wonder – you worry about them not having a competitive game in 2 weeks, you know?
Fuck that. Like – I mean, honestly, to be able to take one game off, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, you have a fucking final. You got to get up for it. Like, yeah, sure. You're not gonna rest everybody in that last game.
I laugh a little bit when it comes to Arteta that people think he's like 36 or 37 or close to 40, and he's only 32. I know his legs are a little bit tired, but we have run him into the ground over the last 2 years. He's just he seems a lot slower just because I think Arsene's taken a lot out of him over 2 years.
Yeah, but I mean we got him when there was a quarter tank left. You know,
he's only 32.
Well, yeah, but he's been playing high level fucking football for many a year. You know, it's not like. This is one of those things like, all right, 32, but like you, make a fucking basketball analogy. I mean, like what Kobe at 34? What is Kobe at 34? You know what I mean? Like you're putting these miles on. You've been playing professionally and putting in the seasons they play. I mean, how many seasons Arteta played? How many seasons at Everton and then played seasons at Rangers before, you know?
Right.
And
right.
Was it Sociedad before that or wherever he was?
I think so.
You know what I mean? So like it's not like – and he's been playing in the center of the park in midfield – for all these years, and he's been through a shit ton of injuries also. That shit just takes its toll on your body.
And now his teeth are falling out? He really is falling
apart.
Exactly.
He's falling apart. Next thing, the Lego hair is going to fall off.
That'd be hilarious, all at once.
Yeah, one piece is just all going to come
like
off.
Like the fucking Lego movie or something.
And we're just going to see a bald Arteta, and this is going to be this really weird moment where we're all like, oh, shit. There's a toupe the whole time.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, hopefully we can maybe get him a week's rest.
I don't even care. Like, honestly, it's a cup final, but it is Hull. Like, I don't even think it matters if he plays in that game. Maybe I'm just being trifle about this, but like, you know, like I feel. Look, you go out, you play your best 11 this weekend. You get the win against West Brom. And then, yeah, you play all the fucking scrubs against Norwich because you know what? If you put everyone who has something to prove for next season out there to play, because here's one game. These are people who are going to be on the bench in the final, a couple regulars. Yeah, you give Fabianski one game, you know, nice little send off before you have Wojciech in the cup final. And, you know, you let him play for it. So you play. I don't fucking know. All right, so give Arteta a rest. Play Flemini. You know, you play Jenkinson. You play Vermaelen, certainly. You know, you play Monreal.
Yeah, certainly Per needs like a week, right, of rest.
Yeah, well, of course.
Has he had more than 1 week off this year?
I don't know. I mean, and we don't even have we don't even have the center backs to rotate both the center backs out. I mean – So, but I mean, I guess at one game a week, you know, they're kind of okay. It's not like considering our squad gets used to playing 2 weeks, you know, two games, two matches a week. I feel like, you know, they'll be all right. But so, yeah, you do that. You rotate the midfield. You give Rosicki a start or do you save Rosicki for the cup final? I don't know. I think at this point with so many players back, you don't even kind of need him from the start. And he kind of plays once a week anyway, but yeah, I mean, you get it done this week so we can just get it over with. And then
we got, 3 weeks till the final? So yeah. You would think that It sounds like Ox is still going to be out. I don't think we're going to have him. Jack supposedly is in training, but I don't know how heavy a training he's in.
It's fair that we don't expect Ox until the Cup final. Also, I would just guess he's certainly out for this week. Which, and Wenger saying there's not a timetable
really sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good. So it's like, let's assume he's out for the next 2 weeks, and then hopefully he can at least be on the bench for the Cup final. Because it kind of seems like this team is kind of like, they've found their rotation with the way players are right now again, like as to what is
right.
Our lineup
that's
been working.
Start Ozil and Ramsey, and then we'll rotate.
Right.
That's the plan.
Yeah, basically. But, you know, Podolski's playing well. I mean, he's contributing well enough, even if his performances haven't been exceptional all the time. But he's scored a few goals. Santi's been looking a little bit better. And, you know, we still don't have the pace. But, you know.
Nope.
We still have the pace, but we have the drive. I mean, Ozil's got deceptive pace, and Ramsey's got good drive to really make a, you know, to make a difference. Like, he's got enough to push past defenders because he kind of does it with momentum, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Cup final. It's been so long.
Yeah, you ready to come to the pub for the Cup final?
Oh.
Come on, man. You got to do it, FA Cup.
I guess so, but.
Come on, man. Oh. You got to do it.
Might have to choose a different location.
Oh, man. I'm going to Orange Just, County.
If something happened, I'd fucking burn that place down if something else happened.
Well, we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Stop being. They're not going to care what pub you watch it at, man.
They care. They text me before the game.
They do? Who?
Yeah.
Back? Bakari? That's why he's leaving? It's fucked up. It's fucked up,
yeah.
Man.
If he goes to City, he can fuck himself. And go fuck himself.
Well,
look, I understand.
Let's see if that's where he goes, and I hope it's not. Let's just see what the amount of money is going to give him.
I don't. Well, I can see why he'd want to leave. I mean, he's not won anything, and we'll say hopefully we win something, and he can go off on a high. But
honestly, if he doesn't go to United or Spurs, like I'm not.
See him going is Chelsea.
Fuck that.
Okay. Why?
No, yeah, fuck that.
Right, but here's why. Here's my thinking behind that. It's just that is I could see him wanting to play for Mourinho.
Azpilicueta.
He's on the left.
He's not, but he's not left-footed.
But Mourinho likes him there.
But I feel like that might be like a solution for what they have right now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why they don't like go to have someone else at left back and then
play
on the right side. How long are you going to play Ivanovic this week?
Where did he play him this week?
On the wing?
Right.
On the right side.
So he obviously doesn't trust him on the right back where his position is.
Well, no, because he has Ivanovic. It has to do with personnel. I mean, Ivanovic plays really well at right back for a center back. You know what I mean?
So why doesn't he pull the guy who belongs in the position there?
Because that's where he's comfortable, and I don't know, man.
I'm just saying that's why I could see back going there.
Well, fuck that! Don't put that thought out in the.
It's already out there.
I just got to go back and edit this.
I put it out
now.
Days ago. Yeah. Days ago, I put
yeah,
it out.
I think I saw it. Fuck that! How dare you? How dare you?
See, I understand why he'd go there and play for Mourinho.
Fuck
you know
him,
what I mean? But I don't understand why he'd go pay for Pellegrini up at
why?
City.
Why wouldn't he go to City? And why would you be so sure he'd want to go to Chelsea? That I don't see it. Well, where is that?
Just because of the managerial. The managerial. That's all I'm looking at.
He wants a cunt for a manager? Pellegrini seems like a decent guy. Why wouldn't he want to play for Pellegrini?
Because he's played for a decent guy for the last 7 years.
Yeah, but so what if Pellegrini wins the league this season? You think he still wants to go to Mourinho instead of Pellegrini? Why not Pellegrini? If Pellegrini just wins the title, why not Pellegrini over him?
I just have a feeling.
Well, fuck your feeling. I don't like this at all.
I can't fight this feeling anymore.
I don't like players who make that jump. I'm looking at you, Cashley.
Oh no, I won't be happy with it, but I could. That's the one. I mean, if he wants to stay in London,
well, yeah, but I
there's
mean,
no
just,
choice.
Well, yeah, but why stay in London unless he stays with Arsenal? Fuck that Chelsea thing. I mean, look, go play for Real Madrid. Go play for Real Madrid. You know?
That'd be fantastic. That's the same thing we wanted from Van Persie, was to get the
exactly.
fuck out of the country. But
go to,
it didn't happen.
Maybe he'll go to Juve. I could see Bakari in Italy, except they'll throw fucking bananas at him.
Yeah, not exactly the best place to play. Neither was Spain.
Right.
I love when you sigh after I bring up a point.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's like, oh, no. This can't be it. Cannot be it.
Just because it makes sense doesn't mean it'll happen. Nothing else in my life works that way.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we don't have to see. We'll see how it works out. We'll see how it works out. I'm not. I'm confident that I will not be. I believe more than 50% that he won't go to a team that I despise. So hopefully, anyone other than them is basically what I'm saying. So there's a bunch of shit being thrown around. By shit, I just mean trifling rumors and bullshit about players and all that kind of stuff.
And bananas.
Yeah, bananas been thrown around. Transfer speculation and all that shit. You want to get into it, or you want to leave that for another day?
No, it's fine. So who are the rumors? Who we have besides Cesc? Is Cesc the rumor you want to talk about?
Oh, that's all I want to talk about. No. We won't give that. I won't give that any time of day. Well, I can certainly wait until summer to start bringing up Cesc speculation.
Certainly makes absolutely zero sense for him to come back when he has possibly his best shot to finally take Xavi's position. But yeah.
We'll see. I'm not even going to comment on that until we get deeper until we get into silly season. No, I don't know, man. I'm not too. There's always whirling speculation. I don't need to get into too many people specifically, but you know, names are being thrown around. That's just the way it's going to be. So
we're going to be linked with everybody, and people are going to get all pissed off at the people we're linked with because they're linking themselves. You know, it's
right. Like the fullback,
like what? Yeah, the RA, whatever his name is. RA. There's another fullback too. And then there's
the Dermich thing,
right,
from Nuremberg.
Although, if you look at the build of that fullback, he's perfect.
I mean, look, I got no complaints from what I've seen of him, but all I've seen are YouTube compilations. But by my YouTube viewing skills, I'd say he looks all right, and his numbers look okay. But I mean, yeah, I mean he's got really good pace, and
yeah,
looks
strong.
Looks the build,
too.
And yeah, he's young and black, and playing in the French league, and that seems to fit, ticks all the boxes.
All the boxes. Might as well just make the deal now.
Yeah, exactly.
And has already said that he couldn't turn us down if offered.
Right. So yeah, you know, some people.
So. It totally makes sense. So
then it won't happen, right? Of course. and you know, we're seeing, was it Lothar Matthäus who's talking about Josip Dermich? I don't know exactly how he's supposed to say his name.
Supposedly Dermich, I guess. Dermich. I don't know.
That's potentially exciting. I mean, he seems like a very – the reason why you say that, it's like he's at a club that's going to get relegated. You know, he's a young talent. He scored 16 league goals, something like that, for his side that's getting relegated, you know, and he's on the radar of some of the top teams.
The Podolski effect then, right? Score a bunch of goals for a team that's getting relegated.
Yeah, but it's a little different as opposed to, like, Podolski was there, like, I mean, Podolski's, like, in his prime or whatever, for whatever Podolski's prime is. You know, he was already, like, established and had already come back from a big club as opposed to, like, a young, you know, player that's emerging onto the scene, you know?
Right.
So I feel like it's slightly different in that sense. But, yeah, I mean, the kid's breaking onto the scene and he's really making a difference. And, you know, he's been one of the guys who's been linked with – I mean, he's been linked with Dortmund for a while as well, too, because people look at him as a potential replacement for that Lewandowski fellow who decided to turn coat himself. So yeah, I mean, like, that's, it makes a lot of sense, which, which I don't really know how it goes, right? Because sometimes certain things make a lot of sense, and then you don't pull the trigger, and then you're like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, why didn't we pull the trigger? I don't see. I think the most money we spend will be on a midfielder this year, and after that, I don't see. I just don't see a ton of ready-made talent out there available at clubs that we'd want.
So explain something to me. You told me that you would take Mario Balotelli over Marco Reus.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, one's an out striker.
Yes.
Right. So that's why I take him. Also, I've just always admired what he can do. Now he's nuts, but the wonderful locker room that we have had before this year certainly hasn't brought us anything in the trophy case. So I'm not sure that it would be so bad to have someone that was a little off.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Balotelli as well, and I'd take him. I just don't know. Like, I think the way I explained it to you was it's the risk reward scenario. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, you know what you're getting. I really feel that Reus could play through the middle. I really think he could play.
So we'll start him on the wing and bring him in the middle, like we do. So yeah, it'd be perfect, right?
I really do kind of see that. But also, I feel like you know what you're getting. And you know what you're getting, and you have a guy who's a consummate professional.
And I think they're both fantastic players, and I would not blink at both of them because, really, if you had a chance, we should be in for both of them. But I think Balotelli's got an agent that we don't really deal with, so I don't think that's ever going to fly anyway.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out. I don't know. Who do you think we could even be in for in midfield, though? Like, what do you think? Because obviously what we would need is
well, all the player old names that we always need. Up, right?
All the old names? Get the fuck out of here. Felipe Melo?
Okay, maybe not that. And we're not also getting Endler either. We're not going to wait. It's not a time machine. But, you know, Bender's name comes back up.
That's all right with me.
Right. But I'm sure – how many days till Mvila's name comes up? It's got to be like three days, right?
Get out of here.
I'm just saying those names are – that position's already being floated out. And I think – well, I don't know. We can only go on rumors anyway. But supposedly we put in a pretty big for Bender last year and didn't get him. So I would assume it's going to take just as bigger of a bigger bid for him. So that's why I'm saying – because I'm hoping that's where we spend our money.
To be honest, I haven't really heard much of anything about or from Bender. I mean, I know he doesn't play in the flashiest of positions, but I haven't really seen what he's been doing. I haven't watched much of Leverkusen this season. So I'm assuming that's the Bender we're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, that's the one. So, I mean, that's the one we're being linked with again. So, I mean, I could see five players coming in, but most of those I just don't see a ton of money being spent on.
Right. Yeah, I mean
– and I've never been one – I mean, I know everybody wants a big signing. We did just get a really big signing, and I don't see one like that going to – to me, it's like if a player like that is available in a need from now on, then I don't think I think he'd go ahead and buy it. But I don't think that's going to be the way he operates still. I think he's just going to hopefully be able to keep the players that he develops.
Right.
Well, that's what most of us have always wanted. That's certainly what I've always wanted.
Mr. Promote from within himself, yeah.
Well, keep our players. Keep our players that we all grow to really like and enjoy. Keep them.
Do you not think that we need a wing option in the summer?
Yes, I think we do. Absolutely. I think we need pace. We need more than just one guy out there with pace.
We need someone who is going to be the bona fide starter at left wing opposite of Theo that has pace, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really where I look at the Reus thing, because that's actually, you know, because I really see it. Yeah, that's where I see it, and that's exactly where he's replaced Podolski in the German lineup. It all fits in seamlessly in my head.
Yeah, we definitely need pace on the other side. There's just no question about it.
Because the thing is, if you have like, I feel like the complaint, and I'm not saying like obviously we need a striker as well, but like. If you're playing Giroud with Theo on one side and someone like Royce on the other,
then Pace,
yeah, it really doesn't, like, his layoffs will unlock the ridiculously pacey guys that we'd have on the wings.
Drew doesn't already look as bad as he had been with all of a sudden with two, with yeah, one world class and one at least, if not there, approaching world class midfielders in the lineup with him.
Right. And I feel like you can work out a good rotation because, you know, there's not going to be the day where said pacey winger, whoever the fuck it is that we could get, you know, that wouldn't play. And you have Santi Cazorla to mix in the rotation. You have Santi Cazorla to play attacking center mid when Ozil doesn't play.
Right. Plus, we got all these other central midfielders that, you know, we have Ox. You have Gnabry, who appears to also be in the same position. We have plenty of those players. We don't have real wingers.
Well, they're both – no, those guys are both understudies on the right wing. I mean, Gnabry doesn't look
like a kind of guy. Wenger doesn't say so. He says they're both in the center.
He thinks Gnabry's a central midfielder?
Mm-hmm. He sees him there. Event. That's where he's going to end up.
Well, I guess maybe I just don't see it yet in his play. Like, I've always seen it in Ox's play, but I don't really see it in Gnabry. Certainly not yet. And I just think he's significantly more raw. But, I mean, maybe we'll see that, you know, expressed more as we go. I mean, I like Ox playing through the middle. I think in our system, I think he's still best utilized on the wing as an option. And I think he needs to be competing with, like I fully expect Theo to come back and be 100%. But I expect Ox to be pushing him every week for that starting berth at right wing. I think that's great for our squad. You know, I want them fighting over those minutes between the two of them because it'll push them to play better. You know.
Yeah, I hope Theo comes back as strong. I miss seeing him in the lineup, not just from a personal, but I just think I think most people agree now how much we've missed him, or at least missed his pace over the last 5 months.
Certainly. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've certainly missed that dynamic with him without a doubt. But you know, I mean, hopefully, better things will come, you know, soon. He'll be fully recovered and ready to go next season. That's the hope.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we've waxed lyrical long enough. You want to give me a prediction for the weekend? We've got West Brom at home. It is the last match at the Emirates this season. Give me a scoreline and some goal scorers, por favor.
Okay. West Brom 10-2. I've seen it over and over and over this year. Start off really well, score a goal or two, and then slowly but surely over the next 70 minutes, either give up as many or twice as many goals.
Yeah, I was gonna say four goals.
So I expect a 3-1 win, and I think we'll go down first. I think they'll score first.
I think they will come out the way you said. I think we'll defend resolutely, weather the storm for the first 20 minutes, and then we'll go on and score, and then it's just going to be easy peasy, another 3-0 beasy.
The key is always for us really to score first, but it hasn't
as the
really
key
been.
Is for most teams, but yes.
Yeah, but definitely us, you know, scoring first. Yeah, doesn't allow the other team to just sit back for the rest of the time. So
right.
So who's scoring for us?
Well, I asked you first.
Oh, I think Ramsey scores.
Yep.
And you know, it was the first week I didn't get to predict a defender scoring, and he scored.
Oh shit! Yeah, you missed Koscielny. Podolski. I know. I'm calling him.
Monreal scores.
Get the fuck out of here.
Monreal scores a double. He scores a brace.
I guess he is going to play, huh? I guess he is there. Okay. Get the fuck out of here. Monreal brace. Now you're just taking the piss. All right. Monreal for one. Who's going to score the other?
My prediction was Ramsey, and then Monreal gets a brace. That's my prediction.
All right. I'm going to go Rambo, Poldy, and Giroud. I'm gonna go back to that. It's gonna be Giroud, not Mesut. He's gonna get an assist though. Two assists.
By the way, I would just like to refer back to before Wigan when I said that Sanogo would start that match. And you thought I was out of my mind.
Yeah, you were. So does Sanogo start the cup final?
Nope.
All right. Finally. Have you reconsidered the goalkeeper thing?
I think you're right on that. I think he will. I think Chesney starts.
And do you think it makes sense? We win this game in the league, and then you give Fabianski the last league game.
Yeah. I think you've nailed it.
Okay. Good. Well,
see, it's all is well.
Hey, how have you felt? It's felt kind of odd being an Arsenal supporter these last couple Premier League games because you actually get a lead, and then kind of a comfortable victory at some point. Like there's been no fucking like Arsenal fans haven't been sprouting gray hairs in the second halves of our matches lately. You know,
no one's crying. Really there's no weird. Crying and it's bitching really about everything. So Twitter's been a nice place to be around.
Indeed. Long may it last.
Yes.
Long may it last.
At least till summer.
At least till summer. Oh, like you said, we're looking forward to all the alliances being broken.
All the unfollows. Allegiances
between, people getting pissed off about World Cup stuff. We'll have much more.
Yeah, that'd be great.
On that to come. Well, thank you so much, Joseph. It's been a pleasure as always. You can follow this fine fellow on Twitter at @IHateYourClub. We'll be back next week with more action for you, wrapping up the end of the season. We'll see how it all shakes out. West Brom, hopefully we do the business this weekend and get it all sorted out so we can rest players and, watch some of those for the future in the following week, get ready for a big cup final and, hopefully getting our first piece of silverware in however many years. I'm sure the media will.
I'm sure they'll talk about the entire.
I'm sure they will. So until then, we'll catch you then. All right. Later.
All right.
There must be something in the way I feel that she don't want me to feel. Still, she bears a cut me.